Welcome back. We trust you are getting blessed with this interesting Bible study. Okay, let's take more questions. Okay, Rachidi from Germany. God bless you, sir. You're on air. Let's hear you.
Thank you, sir. I'm Rachidi from Germany. I'm online from Germany. I've been hearing your program for 2013. I have been blessed. And when I was in the denomination, I always believed that through my work, I would be saved. But when I joined many, I understand that salvation, I have nothing to contribute to salvation. Mm. It's God's special grace for salvation. Now, my question is, since we have nothing to contribute to this salvation, it's God's special grace. If one needs it, is it his fault to need it because he has nothing to contribute with the special grace of God? And to whom he calls, he gives the power. And before God calls somebody, he will give him this power to follow him. So that is my question. So when someone needs to be saved, is it his fault? Because it's only God can give man his salvation. So this salvation, I believe, is important for our faith. Because when somebody is not in line, it's only the calling of God. For predestination, it's only the calling of God that can make one perfect. And not through our work. So that if someone needs this, is it one for community, or is it predestination before he was born that he will need this? This is my question, sir. And oh. Another question, as you preached last time about this day, you said there are many callings. One is the calling that one chooses because of his love for God. And the other one, the chapter, is the elect. This is one, God elect. Explain this calling where one calls himself because of the love he has for the things of God. Mm-hmm. And you see, that was the first one he said. And the second one, he said it is for the elect of God. Can someone make this elect? Or is God special? I believe it's God special. And one needs this salvation, he gives his power. Because when it's only God who is called, he receives the power to do his way. So if he didn't call you, he can't give you that power to do that move. He gives your power when you need it. And another thing is that if whenever I'm worshiping, I always share tears, even at school and outside of the church. When I remember all the things God has done in my life, my former ages, how he elevated me, and I don't like it because I always share fear when I always watch it. So thank you. God bless you. Shalom.
God bless you. Can you hear me, Brother Chidi? 1 minute.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Have you been following my teaching? The sermon title, I titled Understanding Grace for Salvation.
Yes, sir.
Now, if you have been following, then this question may not have arisen if you understood my teaching, because it is this same question I'm trying to answer in all that teaching. Mm-hmm. That yes, salvation is grace. Grace is a covenant. And because it is a covenant, it's an agreement between God and the individual man or woman. And that every agreement has all have conditions attached.
Amen.
Now, in verse 11 of Titus chapter 2, he said, the grace that bringeth salvation teaches. And he mentioned what it teaches. Now, so if you say you are part of grace and you are still found in these abominable things, you are not under that grace. Secondly, I say that grace, what constituted grace, you know, we see it first in Noah. Noah found grace.
Amen.
Now, when he found grace, their grace there is unmerited favor. Now, yes, now Noah did not go pray, Lord, I know you are going to bring destruction. Therefore, Lord, see my work, see what I have done, therefore save me. He himself, he was supposed to be among the whole mankind that was supposed to be wiped off. But he found grace. What is grace there? Grace is that he did not merit it. But when he found grace, what actually constituted grace is that he told him something. He gave him a revelation on how to escape. Now, you see, he is the one that told Noah how to escape from the destruction that is coming. But then he told Noah to do something. If Noah did not build that ark, has he received grace?
Falling from grace.
If Noah did not enter that ark, has he received grace? The grace of our Lord Jesus.
It is grace for everybody.
It is so. That is what we are saying now. That if you are part of that grace, there is a revelation you will have that will save you. And so that
revelation.
Again.
If you are not part of this grace, is it your fault?
That is why we say grace. Now listen. The reason is that it cannot. God is not gambling. By his foreknowledge, he knows who, if this grace is offered to, will accept and who will not accept. He knew it from the foundation of the world. And that is why he's
still. But why did he give this grace? Is it their fault?
I say he gave everybody grace, but he knows who will accept it and who will reject it. Now, No, it's not him giving you the power to accept it. It is you first accepting, agree to accept it, then he helps you. Mm-hmm. Now, let me give you one example. The children of the family of Lot, now, they received the same grace that Lot received. Lot went to tell them, let's stay with Noah first. Lot.
The angel.
Yeah. The angel came to Lot and told him what the angel were doing with Lot was grace.
Amen.
And they all came out. They all came out. They were supposed not to look back. But did the wife look back?
No, sir.
So he fell from that grace. Now, will you say it's God?
And it is the one that gives us the power to attend.
No.
Because we say we give us the power to become the sons of God.
No. You are missing it.
To as many as received it.
It is to as many as receive it in John chapter 1.
Yes, sir.
To as many as receive him. Because many will not receive him.
Amen.
To as many as receive him, to them gave him power to become the son of God. So, but God knew from the foundation of the world who will receive and who will not receive. And that is why he allowed us to preach the gospel to everybody, to all creatures. So that you won't blame him. He won't blame him. If you come, remember that in John 6, chapter 6, verse 37, he said,
All that the Father has given me shall come to me.
And all that come to
and
me.
And him that cometh to me, I will no wise cast
so,
out.
So now, now,
those
the Father didn't give to him before. No, that is why I don't know why it's difficult, Brother Chidi. This is very plain and simple. I said that God knows that there are people that if no matter how he offered it to them, they will never believe. Did he not tell Cain to do the same thing that Abel did? Did Cain do it?
No.
Did God know that Cain will not do it?
Yes, for the
that is the mystery of salvation.
Yes,
God bless you.
Okay, yes. Two other questions.
And now the other question you asked, Brother Chidi, are you still online?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
The tears.
No, the first one is the love of God. The,
yes.
The fifth type of call.
Yes.
That what you do for God out of your love for Him, yes. Service you offer unto God. He wants you to explain it.
No, He has already tied it. You tied it to your first question about the elect. Why God, you know, elect them. Now, the service that you do because you love God, you know, you remember that salvation is not by works.
Mm.
So no matter how you love Him, then there are people that love Him so much, but when it comes to you presenting revelation to them, they will turn it down. So an elect both love Him and will accept a revelation. Of course, it is even the revelation that makes them love Him. So, okay, then tears coming out of your eyes, a manifestation of the Spirit. There is nothing wrong with it. It's a manifestation of the Spirit whenever you're in worship. And there are many other such manifestations. Nothing to worry about. It is a manifestation of the Spirit of God.
Thank you, sir.
God bless you.
Thank you.
God bless you, sir.
Thank you, Brother Chidi.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Okay. All right, we have a question. Shalom, Pastor Ambro Olumide. Please, sir, this is my first time asking question since I started joining this ministry online. Please, sir, last week I was studying my Bible. I heard a voice saying, the origin of you depends the kind of seed you are.
Mm.
Please, Daddy, I need interpretation, sir, because up to now I haven't got the meaning.
Mm.
Then question two, please, sir, I want to correct my water baptism. I need a help where to correct it. Mm. Oh, Brother Uchechi from Gabon.
Mm. Again, please, read that again. What did the voice say?
The origin of you depends the kind of seed you are.
The origin of you. Are you sure you heard that well? Because when we talk about origin, you know, you will be making human beings look as if all life is not from God.
Hmm.
I think it means your nature. If in the context of what you had, your nature depends on the type of seed you are. There is, and what is that seed? The seed that defines your nature is what you hear. The word that you feed determines your nature. And that is why Peter was talking about the fact that we are born again by the incorruptible seed.
The word of God. 1 Peter 1:23.
If the brother is there, from verse 22.
Okay, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit,
yes,
unto unfeigned love of the brethren,
yes,
see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently,
uh-huh,
being born again, not of corruptible seed.
So there are two seeds.
Mm.
There is a corruptible seed and...
but of incorruptible.
Incorruptible seed. So, and that seed that you are born again with is the word that you receive. John chapter 1, verse 12 and verse 13.
But as many as received him, to uh-huh them gave he power to become the sons of God,
uh-huh,
even to them that believe on his name,
uh-huh,
which were born not of blood, uh-huh, nor of the will of the flesh,
uh-huh,
nor of the will of man.
But what?
But of God.
And then verse 14, that first statement there.
And the word was made flesh.
The word you receive make become flesh. So you are what you eat. We are what we eat.
Mm.
Your nature is determined by the word you receive. Mm. That's why the Bible says evil communication corrupts good manners. So, the Bible therefore says you should, it said, thy word have I hid in my heart,
mm,
that I may not sin against you. You see, so you will live a holy life through the word that you receive. And the word of God is the water that God uses to cleanse us. The washing of the water by the word. So that is what the Spirit of God was telling us, we are studying the Bible, that this is what will shape your nature, your character, your life. God bless you.
Thank you, sir. Okay, can we have another question? God bless you, sir. Please, sir, how would the John ministry in Revelation 10, verse 8 to 11 be fulfilled? Brother Emedyong from Akwa Ibom State, Nigeria.
After the rapture, that is the Jewish revival. He says, ye shall prophesy again. That means they have prophesied before. Then you have the latter rain and the former rain together. It is when the gospel will be coming back to Israel. And the revival that we follow is the joint ministry. He said, you prophesy again. It means it happened before. When did it happen? In Acts chapter 2. It was a strictly Jewish affair. They will do it again and steer another revival in Israel. That is the John ministry. God bless you.
Amen.
After the rapture.
Wow. Okay. Another question. Shalom, Pastor Moses. Here are my questions. Why does God baptize some people with the Holy Ghost after years of praying?
No, he also said, Brother Olumide. He also greeted you.
Shalom, Ramones and Brother Olumide.
Thank you.
Questions. Why does God baptize some people with the Holy Ghost after years of praying for it, and some get it within weeks or days? For the people that receive it after many years, is it that their hearts are not right with God, or they are not desiring it enough?
The answer is simple. There's an appointed time for everybody.
Wow.
And he chooses the time. Mm. Remember him. That he does it, you know, according to his good counsel. He counsels me. He knows he has a time, due time. My due time may not be your due time, but at the appropriate time, the appointed time, he does it. Ecclesiastes says there is time for everything.
Mm.
It's time appointed for everything. There's a time appointed for you. And that is why we be anxious for nothing. You know, that is why we are. One of the virtues that we're supposed to imbibe is patience. You know, every Christian must imbibe this virtue, patience. Mm. Because God, you must wait for God's time, and he's not obligated to explain to you how and why he does his things. So we are just to be obedient, be in expectation, and believe that he will do it.
Amen.
So it is according to his own time set by himself. But one thing is, before the rapture takes place, every elect will receive the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Yes.
Okay, the second question, a very interesting one. Is it proper for a Christian lady to be a gender equality activist?
Ah, lie. I mean, those who do that are unbelievers, because the Bible has already placed the woman under the man. So Amen. Where will equality come in?
Hmm.
Maybe you should see 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Maybe some people don't even know that. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2.
Now,
I mean, verse 3, sorry.
Okay. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ.
Again.
But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ.
Uh-huh.
And the head of the woman is the man.
Eh?
And the head of the woman is the man.
Uh-huh.
And the head of Christ is God.
That is the hierarchy in the kingdom, the family of God. That is the organogram. So for a Christian woman to go and be talking about gender
equality,
when right from Genesis chapter 3,
Amen.
Verse 15, what does it say? That Genesis is where 3, the matter was settled. Am I correct?
Yes, verse 16.
Chapter 3, sorry. Yes. Go on.
Unto the woman he said.
What did he say?
I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception.
Uh-huh.
In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children.
Uh-huh.
And thy desire shall be to thy husband.
Okay.
And he shall rule over thee.
He shall rule over thee. Therefore, mm-hmm. equality has been removed. And finally, 1 Peter chapter 2.
First Timothy 2.
Yes. Mm. What did he say?
From verse 12.
Yes.
But I suffer not a woman to teach, not to usurp authority over the man, mm-hmm. but to be in silence.
Uh-huh.
For Adam was first formed.
See the reason?
Then Eve.
Uh-huh.
And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression.
Therefore, gender equality activism by a Christian woman is doing it out of lack of revelation.
Mm.
It's wrong. God has already placed us in our position. Every man is to follow it. Maybe I should give further more scriptures. Ephesians chapter 5,
sir,
verse 22. What did he say?
Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord.
Go to 1 Peter chapter 3. Submit, Abi.
Mm.
Eh?
Yes, sir.
Is it not submit?
Yes, sir.
Now, chapter 3.
Hmm.
What did he say in verse 1?
Likewise, ye wives, uh-huh. be in subjection to uh-huh. your own husbands,
uh-huh.
that if any obey not the word, they may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives.
And this is how they are to do it in verse 6.
Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well.
Abraham, the man, was the Lord of
Sarah.
So, gender activists, Christians, stop it. It doesn't belong to you.
Amen.
God bless you.
Oh, this is a hard saying. Someone in the Western world will be saying
this. Yeah, because they are not of the kingdom. I mean, that is their own. You know, we are in this world, but not of this world. Let that be very clear.
So even in the Western world, some over 100 years ago, it wasn't so.
Yeah, that is the perversion. Part of in the latter days,
the
prophecies are becoming fulfilled now.
Mm.
And that's the reason. Okay. That's why women are placed in positions of authorities now everywhere, including the prophecy William Branham gave about the woman ruling America. And they are ruling other countries.
But our colleague is calling us from Abuja, Nigeria. God bless you, sir. You're on air.
Which scripture is that? That's Revelation chapter 9.
Yes, sir.
Okay. There are 14 when you were analyzing the issue, you said that by then we were already the righteous.
Yes.
So don't tell the people that they walk the wrong church that have the holiness of them. Why would they be of the righteous?
No. By the time we are gone, the gospel is now with Israel. And remember that in Revelation chapter 7,
amen.
Remember that in Revelation chapter 7, you will see verse 2 and yes, verse 3.
And I saw another angel ascending from the east,
yes.
having the seal of the living God.
Yes.
And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels,
uh-huh.
to whom it was given to earth, the earth and the sea,
uh-huh.
saying, ought not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads.
Now, and then who are those servants? Verse 4.
And I heard the number of them which were sealed. And there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel.
Now, if you go to chapter 14.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Okay. From verse 1 again.
And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000,
yes.
having his father's name written in their foreheads.
Go ahead.
And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung as it were a new song before the throne,
uh-huh.
and before the beast, and before the elders. And no man could learn that song, but the 144,000,
uh-huh.
which were redeemed from the earth.
And now verse 4, my emphasis.
These are they which are not defiled with women,
uh-huh.
for they are virgins.
Uh-huh.
They are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes.
What did he call them?
These were redeemed from among men,
being what?
The first fruits unto God and to the Lamb.
Now when there is the first fruit, then there are others that also came with them, the other Jews too that came up later.
Mm.
This already, whatever is happening will not hurt them.
Mm.
That is what we see in that chapter 9. God bless you.
Thank you.
Okay,
more questions coming in. Matthew 3:11. Was John's baptism for repentance? Why the verse 13 to 15 second? Okay, why the verse 13 to 15? Was John's baptism for repentance? Then the question is, why verse 13?
Matthew what?
Matthew chapter 3.
3:11. Read it, please.
I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Then his question is, why verse 13 to 15?
Then cometh Jesus
from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness.
So what is the righteousness that Christ was fulfilling? That's what you are saying. Remember that this baptism that you saw in verse 11 is baptism of the Holy Ghost. And John the Baptist was not giving the people Holy Ghost. He was baptizing with water for repentance. It's a cleansing process according to the law. But Christ will baptize with the Holy Ghost. It will pierce through to your soul. So when Christ came and he said, why are you baptizing me? John knew that he was greater than him. And Christ said, you should permit it to be so now to fulfill all righteousness. Which righteousness? Because the same John, in John chapter 1 and verse 29, he said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. You just told the whole world that this is a lamb. And before the lamb is slaughtered for sacrifice, it is washed.
Amen.
And that is the righteousness he was fulfilling in line with the revelation he had.
Amen.
Nothing more.
Okay. Question two of that particular question. Okay. Secondly, where in the Old Testament was the water baptism mentioned? Hence, the mentioning of the water baptism by those sent to question John the Baptist. Besides, when did Jesus shed his blood? Is it during circumcision?
Now, the second question, where in the Old Testament, all purification process in the law was by water. Wash, wash, wash until Jesus had to tell them, you wash outside and you leave the inside unclean. So the whole process of purification is by water, washing water. That is the reason why Elisha had to tell Naaman to go and dip yourself inside the water. It's purification. That is why Jesus would tell those lepers he healed, you know, go wash yourself and show yourself to the elders according to the manner of the law. And the Jews. So it's the whole process is by washing, it's by cleansing, for purification. Yes.
Amen. Okay, third question. There's a third question. Besides, when did Jesus shed his blood? Is it during circumcision or when he was pierced by the side? When did Jesus shed his blood?
Okay, he said, when did Jesus shed his blood?
Is it during circumcision or when he was pierced by the side?
Even before he got to the cross, they were beating him. Blood was coming out of his body. So all that suffering that brought out blood from him, until he hung on the cross, they pierced him, more blood was coming out. It's all part of the shedding of the blood.
But the circumcision as a child.
The circumcision as a child was not, he was not doing it for the sake of anybody. Mm. He was fulfilling the law because he came under the old covenant that God had with Abraham, because he came as a Jew.
He was fulfilling all righteousness.
And he was also fulfilling all righteousness.
Amen.
He was fulfilling all righteousness. Just like he went to worship, he also, since he came in the lineage of Abraham he also, Abraham, all male children have to be circumcised. So he too had to circumcise according to the law, to fulfill the law.
Amen.
Yes, okay. Obey the law, to obey the law.
Amen. More questions? Shalom, sir, and Isaka brother. Is it possible to be holy throughout without being carnal? Is it possible to be holy throughout without being carnal? And what can one do to remain holy or spiritually minded? Rasulika from Cameroon.
You have to define holiness. As this is it. You know, when you say holy, that is, you are referring, the context of your question is to remain sinless. Now, in Galatians chapter 5, in Galatians chapter 5, Apostle Paul said in verse 16,
"This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh."
That is it. So your question is, can one walk in the Spirit? What do you mean by walk in the Spirit? That is, walk, be led by the Spirit of God in everything you do. You know, and if you allow the Spirit of God to guide you, then you will not do anything wrong. But in verse 17, what did he say?
"For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, uh-huh. and the Spirit against the flesh. Uh-huh. And these are contrary the one to the other, uh-huh. so that ye cannot do the things that ye would."
Now, if you allow the Spirit of God to lead you, you will overcome this flesh. And if you evidence that you are walking by the Spirit, this will be the evidence in verse 22.
"But the fruit of the Spirit is love, mm-hmm. joy, mm-hmm. peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law."
So you have to understand. And then verse 24.
"And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with their affections and lusts."
Now verse 25.
"If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit."
So you, yes, all day you can live a holy life. And you live a holy life because you allow yourself to be led by the Holy Spirit that dwells in you. That's all.
Okay. Can we have another question? Shalom, Pastor. Okay, I have heard you say that there's nothing like confusion or commotion during rapture. But in my opinion, sir, I feel there will be commotion in the sense that if a pilot on the airplane is raptured, won't it crash? The same thing to cars, etc. Please, sir, can you prove it for me, please? Again, I have heard said again that when the trumpet sounds, it is not all years that we hear. Please, I need Bible reference for that. Sister Deborah from Abuja.
To start with, rapture is not an accidental thing. Those who will go in the rapture will know.
That's right.
You will know. And therefore, because of that revelation, that knowledge, it is like, because of that knowledge, it will not be by surprise. You will certainly get to know. Remember that when you're to travel anywhere, anyone of us that have traveled overseas before, there's a process at the airport before you eventually take off. So every traveler, all the people who escort you, will get to only a certain point. And then you check in. Then you pass through the immigrations. You pass through the customs. You pass through the security checks. Then there's another last check again before you are finally told to go in. It's a process. And everyone that shall go in the rapture will know it. So it's not by accident. That pilot that day, he won't be in the air. That driver will not drive. Even if he is to go, he will be told to land in one airport first. And that day he will not be on duty anyway. So you have to understand that is not, there will be no commotion, there will be no confusion.
Okay.
And you say, which scripture proves that? I want you to note that when Jesus went to the grave of Lazarus, he fulfilled another scripture he gave in John chapter 5 and verse 28. The time will come when those in the grave will hear his voice. Now Lazarus in the grave heard his voice. He went to the graveyard. He was going for one particular person. He was going for Lazarus. He called Lazarus comfort. He didn't just, you know, made noise so that everybody will wake up from the grave. So you will hear it. And when you hear, those all others will remain dead. Dead spiritually, ears closed, they cannot hear what you hear. In a moment, in a twinkle of an eye, the body will change. That's what Apostle Paul. So there will be a body change. And when God is involved in something, he does it in a way that will prove he is God. Before they begin to find out that some people are not on earth, he will have achieved what he wants to achieve. So you have to take note. The confusion may only come to those who will suddenly realize a rapture has taken place because they are not seeing Brother Moses.
Brother,
I don't know who else. I don't know whether anybody in Bright TV. They suddenly discover Bright TV is short. Nobody is handling it again. Then they will suspect. Somebody said he called this person. It was ringing, ringing, no answer. He called me, ringing, ringing, no answer. And then he watched the screen, he noticed I was not in church. And then those people he was calling, he called some people, and said, these people in the church, he said, no. He said, hey, have I been left behind? So it is after we are gone, the confession will take place by those who will be singing, oh no, had I known. By those who will be weeping and gnashing their teeth because they will discover they have become foolish and they are the foolish virgins. God bless you.
Okay, the second question speaks about trumpet of God. Can we have it again? Let me quote that word for word. Okay, you said again that when the trumpet sounds, it is not all ears that we hear. Please, I need Bible reference for that, sir.
That's the trumpet. The trump there is the voice of God.
Amen.
It's the voice of God.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay. God bless you, Brother Moses and Olumide. I am Kindness from Abuja. My questions are, can you interpret Ephesians 5:27 and use it to compare once saved, forever saved? Does it mean that after once water baptism and the person mistakenly falls to sin and dies immediately, that the person will be saved? What do I do for my spirit inward man eyes to be opened again? Okay, that's another question. When I was an unbelieving believer, I see a lot of things, okay, about the gift. But now that I understand what it means to be born again, I see only shadows. Pastor, I want my eyes open so that I can see more. So that I can see more than Sister Amarachi. God bless you.
It's okay. A gift. Once you are born again, you are given a gift. If you have that gift, then pray that God will increase the grace.
Then that's before all. She was born again, she saw more.
Yes.
But now she sees shadows.
Yes. So you ask for God to restore. That's all. Restoration and more grace. It's by prayer. What?
Ephesians 5:27.
Yes.
That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish.
So what is the
comparing
question?
Comparing it to once saved, forever saved. Can we have a question on this?
Once saved, forever saved. I don't know how you apply this scripture.
Can we have the question again?
We have taken time already to explain it, predestination. It says,
compare once saved, forever saved. Does it mean that after water baptism and the person mistakenly falls to sin and dies immediately, that the person will be saved?
No, what makes you to be saved is not water baptism, it's the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Once you receive the Holy Ghost, you can never be lost because you have received eternal life.
Amen.
And eternal life does not end, it is eternal. Mm. So you have to take note of that. That is why God will not gamble and give it to anybody anyhow. That was why he removed it immediately from the Garden of Eden.
Amen.
So that you won't jam eternity with a sinful nature. Mm. Then God will be in trouble forever.
Okay, more questions coming in. Shalom Bright TV, my question is, what is the difference between Bible and message? And in the message that we believe, do we have overseer? God bless you. I'm Jimmy Simfukwe from Zambia.
What is the difference between Bible and the message? I don't know why the need for that has come up. I don't know what you mean by message. A message is word of God to someone. That is what is called message. Maybe you are referring to the terminologies used for those who are followers of the minister William Branham, who believe God gave him a message for us, and they are following the message. And if that is what you are referring to, the difference, there is no difference, because the message is telling us to come back to the Bible. So when you come back to the Bible, you are in the message. When you are holding some books of William Branham, instead of holding the Bible, you are yet to receive the message. So keep holding the sermon books. Keep making your quotes until you receive what you are hearing. Then you will come back to the Bible.
Amen.
Yes.
Okay.
Is there one?
Yes. Do we have, in the message you believe, do we have an overseer? Do we have overseer?
What do you mean by overseer? That is somebody who is overseeing all of us all over the world, like a general overseer. Or you mean what we refer to in Ephesians chapter 20, Acts chapter 20. There's a statement that Apostle Paul made there. Acts chapter
20:28.
Now, what did he say there?
Take it therefore unto yourselves, and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers.
The Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. To do what?
To feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood.
So he's talking to those
pastors.
Every pastor is an overseer of the local church he is pastoring. I don't know if it answers that question.
Okay. If it has a different meaning from what the pastor is thinking, you can reframe it.
You can reframe it.
I would give another answer to the to the reframed question.
I am the overseer of the Bright Assembly Church, Lagos. Your pastor in Zimbabwe is the overseer, Zambia, the overseer of that local church. And the Holy Spirit is the general overseer of his church.
Amen.
God bless you.
Okay, another question. We have a call. Brother Joseph from Jos, Nigeria. God bless you, sir. You're on air.
Shalom, sir.
Shalom, Brother Joseph.
I want to ask you, I'm a Catholic and I have corrected my water baptism through the Bright Assembly here in Jos.
Yes.
And invited me to come and, share the picture with them. And I say I need to make sure that I have the Holy Spirit to lead me so that I will not go there and present my own message. So, as you say, I should go and get the Holy Spirit. I'm still waiting. I have not gotten any experience as to regard that I have gotten the Holy Spirit. Please, I want you to help out.
Sorry. Where were you told to go and share the word? Where? In Catholic Church?
No, in the same Bright Assembly Church.
Why are they telling you?
In the church.
Why are they telling you to come and share? Is there anything special about you that they want to hear from you?
The thing is that I fellowship with them once, and they tell me that I should come and share the scripture with them.
That, but if a pastor or the overseer tells you to come and share something with the church, it means there's something he has seen in you that the church can benefit from.
Okay.
So, and you can only say what you know. So don't over-technicalize the preaching of the word. It is what you know you say, and you only want to make sure that whatever you say does not contradict the scriptures. Now, your fear should not be that you don't have the Holy Ghost. Your fear should be that you have a perfect revelation of what you want to talk about. That's all.
Okay, sir. Because my fear comes from the act of apostle, where he told them to wait until they receive power from above.
Yes. Yes. And then they will go and preach the gospel.
That is the thing.
Yes. Now, it's good for you to be humble enough to see that you want to be empowered first. And take note that the reason why he said they should go and be endued with the power before they go to be witnesses. Now, that power was also the power to preach the word of God. Because through what they received, they are now able, the Holy Ghost they received, they are able to understand what Christ was telling them. Now they can go confidently. They now understood baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus. They now understood laying hand on the sick and power was manifesting. They laid it in the Bible now for us to now pick it from there and continue in that revelation. So if you cut that revelation through the fire that flowed on the cross on Calvary to the apostles and they laid them down for us in the Bible, you pick it up also when you understand by the understanding of the same spirit they receive, go and preach the gospel. You don't wait for sensation. No, it's not more by sensation. It is not by a revelation. A revelation does not come by falling down, by shaking. What makes you a teacher is not what makes one a prophet. It's not what makes one exhibit other gifts. A teacher comes by a knowledge. And you may have been talking with a pastor, and the pastor saw that you have revelation and you can teach. So he gives you the pulpit to exercise that grace you have. So don't wait until you hear a voice or you shake. No, we walk by faith. Go ahead and give what you have. God bless you.
Amen.
Okay. From Botswana.
Another question from Botswana. Shalom, man of God. This will be the last for tonight. Why are junior pastors always fighting each other when they are submitting under someone else in the same church? And what do you do if a leader joined them against you? Pastor Emmanuel from Botswana.
You leave the church. Must you remain in that church? You leave now. If they are joining and fighting themselves, that's carnality. The devil has entered that church with the carnality.
Mm.
And if the pastor does not watch and joins that, and then also you must be sincere too. What you may be calling them fighting you may be a character in you that people are trying to tell you, to stop. And if all of them, including the overseer, are against you, then something must certainly be wrong with you.
Mm.
So you address that issue rather than think you are correct and all of them are wrong.
Mm.
God bless you.
Okay. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for another beautiful moment, another beautiful session of Ask the Pastor. And we appreciate all those that have contributed by calling or sending messages. If the pastor has sat down here for these few hours without any question, then we would have wasted his time. So we really appreciate you. On behalf of Bright TV, we say thank you. Do not forget to thank our sponsors that are keeping the light shining. Every crown that Pastor Moses wins, you also win yours. Because without you sending him, he will not be there. So we appreciate all sponsors of Bright TV. Yes, sir?
Let them also know that any questions sent that is not answered now will be answered next week.
Okay.
Yes.
So please, you have a bank of questions. And once in a while, we always take our time on weekend to come and answer this question. So please don't be discouraged. Every question you sent is in that bank. And as much as God will give us grace, we'll answer all questions before the Lord Jesus comes. Till we meet again, shalom to the bride of Christ. God bless you.
Amen.